Well, hey everybody, and welcome to the online worship service here at Park Ridge Presbyterian Church. My name is Amanda, and I am glad that you found us online and decided to worship with us today. We're so grateful for our online ministry, for the ways that it helps us share God's love with other people, and for the ways it connects us to God through worship in a lot of different ways, whether we can be together in person or not, we have our online ministry. Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, which means we are almost to Christmas. Christmas Eve is this week, Wednesday, December 24th. If you don't already have a plan for how you are going to worship, how you are going to celebrate Christmas, we invite you to celebrate Christmas Eve with us. We have a 4 p.m. and 11 p.m. service in person in our sanctuary. The 4 p.m. service is very family friendly. It features music from our band and our choir and a special kids message for any kids that are there that day. Then our 11 p.m. service is so peaceful. It's a candlelight service and it has music provided by our organist. So we invite you to celebrate Christmas Eve with us in person at either of those services. We also have an online service that premieres at 4 p.m. on Christmas Eve, but you can watch it anytime after that. If you can't get out this Christmas Eve, if you're traveling, if you're unwell, or if you're hosting family, you can still connect to the Christmas story and worship with us. Wherever you are worshiping this Christmas, we pray that God's hope, peace, joy, and love finds you this Christmas and that Christ's light shines brightly. Our Next Gen groups will be on winter break from December 28th. That Sunday, we will have no Next Gen groups, and we'll have no Next Gen groups the following Sunday, January 4th, as we are up at Camp Timberley with our students. But our Next Gen groups on Sunday mornings will resume on January 11th, so you can stay tuned for that. As we continue to worship together, let's pray. God, who is always with us, be closer to us these days ahead as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son. Help our hearts and minds to be open to you. For those of us that are feeling far off from you and wondering what the Christmas story has to do with us, we pray you would give us a renewed sense of wonder for what began at Christmas and continues to unfold all around us. For those of us that are feeling adrift and without purpose, help us to hear the voice of your leading spirit and give us the confidence to say yes to what's next. We pray all of this in your holy name. Amen. So friends, we have made it to the fourth Sunday of Advent, which means our waiting is almost over. How has the waiting gone for you? Are you a good waiter? Is waiting easy for you? Is it the hardest thing you do? How are you at waiting? I am particularly not good at waiting. Waiting is not good for me, and I am not good at it. Waiting gives me too much time to wonder and to worry, too much time for what ifs that will probably never happen. Throughout the Advent season, we tell the stories of God's people who had all kinds of experiences with waiting. We read from the Old Testament prophets who bring messages of hope and restoration to people who are experiencing waiting, people who've experienced exile, people who've experienced occupation. The promise of a future king and a reign of peace is the message that they bring, and it's the one that they tell and retell for generations until God comes through on that promise. These people knew about waiting. And as we come to the stories in the Gospels leading up to the birth of Jesus, we have more stories of waiting, of the mothers, Mary and Elizabeth, as they wait for the chance to meet their children, these months of pregnancy as their bodies change and make room for the life growing within them, and wait to see about this unfolding story of God that they've been given a glimpse of, but won't really know or understand until their sons are born. The fathers have stories of waiting too. Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, the father of John the Baptist, he waits the whole pregnancy for his voice to come back. And he names his son John in obedience to the angel's message that was brought to him. And Joseph waits too. Joseph waits, Joseph wonders about what God has planned for his family and his future, and whether or not he wants to go along with this new. We find Joseph's story in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to divorce her quietly. But just as he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, that the virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel commanded him. He took her as his wife, and until she had, but had no marital relations with her until she had given birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. Joseph's story offers us a few unique perspectives into the birth story of Jesus. Unlike the visit to Mary, Joseph's visit wasn't to announce the news that Mary would have this baby. That news had somehow already come to Joseph. Now, we don't know whether Mary told him herself about her visit from the angel and what she was told would happen and the role she played in God's story. Mary could have told Joseph herself. Or maybe the gossip mill just started spreading, and there were hushed conversations and sideways glances as people found out the story about Mary, who had been engaged to Joseph. They weren't engaged, which would have in that culture been an arrangement between Mary's father and Joseph. It would have been an arrangement like a contract, one that was legally binding, that would have involved some trading of goods, some land, some livestock, some money, all for this marriage that would begin. But the news that Mary was pregnant, that would have messed up this arrangement. Joseph could have gotten out of this arrangement, kept his goods, dismissed Mary, and found a new wife who was not already pregnant. But going through with this marriage, if he went through with this marriage to Mary, he risked his own reputation. He didn't ask for this. This wasn't his plan. What would people say? What would people think? So in whatever days Joseph had between when he found out that Mary would have this baby and the visit Joseph gets himself from the angel, he got to planning. What was he going to do with this plan that had fallen apart? What was he going to do next about his arrangement? He weighed all the options. He could expose her publicly. He could make her take on all the shame and dishonor that this kind of arrangement brought in that day. But that wouldn't work. He was a righteous man, and he didn't want to put her to shame in that way. So he could send her back home. A woman who wasn't going to get married, she would go back to her father's home, so he could send her home quietly, not telling anybody, kind of keep it in the shadows, and they could just move on with their lives, like a relationship that wasn't meant to be. Who knows how many other what-ifs Joseph entertained as he was waiting and worrying, but he landed on a plan. That is what he was going to do. He would send her home quietly and move on with his life. But then God intervenes. Unlike when the angel visits Mary, the message isn't, "Don't be afraid, you're going to have a baby." The message to Joseph is, "Don't be afraid, you're going to marry Mary." Joseph might have come up with his own plan to deal with this situation, but God had a bigger plan. Take Mary as your wife. That's God's plan. Don't worry about what people might say. Don't worry about what looks or whispers might come your way. Trust God. Marry Mary. So out of faithfulness to God, out of the righteous character of Joseph, he listened. Joseph obeyed God, married Mary, and when the child was born, they named him Jesus, to fulfill what all the prophets had spoken. Now, no one will ever be in the position of Mary and Joseph again. That was a once in an eternity kind of situation. But we all know what it's like for plans to change unexpectedly. Whether it's a slight inconvenience or a life-changing event, the unexpected reminds us how vulnerable we are, how out of control we are, how futile our planning can be. I mentioned before how waiting is hard for me. It's hard for me because there's too much time for me to think and rethink, to worry and to wonder, to what if and what now. This spiraling, anxious planning, I used to think made me resourceful. It made me prepared and protected. Turns out it mostly just made me anxious. When I'm not thinking about waiting, when I am in the moment, when I'm not given too much time to wonder and to worry, when I don't get too far ahead of myself, I'm actually a pretty good decision maker. I have a pretty good gut sense about things. Pastor Josh calls it my gift of discernment. I can make decisions in the moment. And even when plans get derailed, I can usually find at least the next right thing. When I get into trouble is when I try to find the next and the next and the next and the next right thing. When I try to predict and manage and maneuver my way into certainty is when I get in trouble. One of the things that strikes me about Joseph's story is that while he did have some time to wonder and worry, when the angel came to him and reassured him that God was still at work in this version of the plan, even though it looked like it had fallen apart, Joseph doesn't hesitate at all to trust God and to continue on with the plan in front of him to do the next thing. Joseph doesn't stutter or stumble at all. And I wonder, how can we build a muscle like that, a muscle for listening to God and relying on God when we are met with moments of uncertainty and decisions that we weren't expecting to have to make? I wonder how we can kind of store up that faith over time so that the things that have had the power to shake us don't have that power anymore. One of the faith leaders that I'm constantly learning from, as some of you know, is this author and speaker and pastor Annie F. Downs. And I took some of you to hear her speak in October. And one of the things I heard her say recently was that it's exactly when life seems to go off the rails that she returns to her practices, meaning her spiritual practices. There might be a lot of things we call spiritual practices these days, but when we look at scripture, we're looking at invitations to prayer, and to studying scripture and reading scripture, to worshiping God, and to serving others. Those are the spiritual practices I think we see throughout scripture. And all of these are good to try on our own, but all of them are enriched when we try them together. And one of the gifts that we've seen this Advent season has been this Advent small group that's come together on Sunday mornings. It's been this flexible, approachable space for people on Sunday mornings to come in the midst of this very busy season, to carve out a little time and a little quiet, to focus on what this Advent season is really about and what the gift of Christmas really gives us. No doubt there will be something this Christmas that does not go according to plan. It could be something small, some small inconvenience, or it could be something big that will stretch and challenge some of us to stay present to one another and to God and the unfolding story and the ways that we didn't see our life playing out. Some of us will be stretched in ways we didn't expect and didn't ask for. But the story that we find from Joseph in the Gospel of Matthew reminds us that God is faithful even when we don't understand the plans that are unfolding before us. And when we trust who God has been in our life and go back to some of those practices that build our faith muscles up, If we focus on the here and now and what is necessary today and not borrow trouble from our future, we can know the next right thing. We can take the next faithful step. And we can trust that our God, who has been faithful, keeps God's promises and will be faithful to us in this situation. We do pray that God's hope and peace and joy and love find you this Christmas season. And we pray that being a part of this community and worshiping with us helps you do that. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks that you are at work in our stories, even when we don't know what is exactly being written. God, we give you thanks for the story of Joseph and at how it helps us remember that we can take next steps of faith, even in uncertainty and even when plans change. God, we pray your spirit comes to us this Christmas and reminds us of the gift that you've given us in your Son. We pray this in Jesus' name.